I'm Barry Martin. Thanks for tuning in today. We're going to spend the next bit of time here on the show talking about a relevant and important topic. There's a local connection for stories in the news, and the subject is sexual assault awareness. Today is an opportunity to talk about the fact this is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And joining us right now from news is Bailey Heather, who's here in studio with us. Welcome to the show. Did I say something wrong?
No. Yeah. Coach Bailey. You can call me Coach Bailey.
Coach Bailey. Okay.
Yeah, I know the Heather part, that's actually my first name. Bailey's my last, but okay. It's on the interweb. It says
yes.
Bailey Heather. So
I'm sorry, I was confused.
That's okay. Everyone is. Just Bailey.
Coach Bailey?
Yeah.
All right, let's go with that. Tell us a little bit of what you do for news.
So I am an education and outreach program manager in our sexual assault victim services department. The first half of my job, education outreach, is actually going out into the community and interacting with people, educating about topics of sexual violence. I go into classrooms and give workshops and lectures. And then the second half of my job, the program manager piece, relates to news about sports, which is a program that I was called in to develop, which is a gender-based violence prevention program within the realm of sports in Napa County. So working with coaches, athletic directors, to look at the culture within their department or where the sports activities are, say the Napa Valley College, who's our first partner, and creating a violence prevention program within that department for the athletes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it seem like the locker room, as it were, the sports environment is kind of a microcosm of or a good example of the toxic environment that we hear about so often?
You could say that. I mean, I think that it's, can't make a generalized statement that all environments are like this. However, there's been some studies shown, and there's been some evidence out there in the nation that these are environments where these kinds of issues take place, where there is hypermasculinity, where people aren't held accountable, where they're really pushing these really strong gender stereotypes of being strong and masculine, or really not uplifting the value of the female athletes too. So that's also part of the problem as well.
Mm-hmm. The sort of might is right thinking that develops in a physical world of physical conflict that sports often are.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of that this idea that, well, that's just sports culture. That's just the way an athlete has to perform. And there's a difference between being aggressive on the field, say, to make a touchdown or to make the score, and being aggressive because you're actively trying to hurt somebody. And it's the actively trying to hurt somebody, and it's the violence, and it's the mindset that perpetuates that, which is what we're really trying to stop and really work with the coaches to identify where this is coming from and change that norm within the department those behaviors aren't acceptable.
Yeah, and big part of that problem, of course, is not that the toxicity is just there on the playing field or in the locker room, but then you, as a young man particularly, you learn that, and then you take it to your job, your family, your
out
school,
into the community.
Yeah,
these things
be.
Kind of bleed out into other areas of our lives, and that's where this change starts. Because if you get in there and really work with the culture, and you change that, and you're working with the athletes, and it's on an individual basis, as athletes too, they have influence on schools, so they're able to influence the students around them. They're seen as leaders, so getting these individuals that are in these positions of sports, or that may be team captains or coaches that people really respect, to change their behaviors, that's how we see social change ripple out from the playing field and into the greater community.
Yeah. So we'll probably circle back around to the sports thing a couple times in your direction. Let's talk about this construction sign thing.
Oh, construction signs.
Because this jumped out on Facebook, because where I saw your post, your photos of some of the what they call changeable message signs, CMS, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see them everywhere. Construction sign, detour here, this road will be closed. And you saw a couple that had been hacked, which is also not that uncommon.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, they were offensive. Mm-hmm. Describe what you saw a little bit, your reaction, what you did.
Well, I have to say first that these changeable construction signs and the messages couldn't have come at a better time, because I'm in this role now and I'm on watch. Not that it's about me to call people out, but – and I – I didn't see them personally walking down the street. I woke up and in my feed, I saw people posting them, and it was kind of funny. It was, you know, they're making jokes, and one of the signs said "Women suck," and the other sign said "Caution, women drivers." And to me, initially, I was angry. It was kind of like WTF, like, you know, why is this happening? And I realized that the next day, last Thursday, I was going to be teaching a class or a workshop on sexual violence and going over the continuum of violence. And what this illustrated to me is those bottom values at the bottom of the pyramid where this stuff really starts. So it's like we have these ideas and these social norms and beliefs that women can't, you know, they don't have these certain skills. Women can't drive. Women are less than. And really, when I saw those signs, it was just perpetuating those ideas that we have as a culture. And for me, it really hurt because I know that that's not how our community views women. And so I had to say something about it. So I, you know, posted about Facebook, and then it went kind of viral. Mm-hmm. And then a few days later, there was a post that said, or a message that said, build that wall, which was then a comment on immigration. And I, you know, knowing the population in this community, so paired with, you know, all the women and strong women we have in Napa, and then our immigrant population, it was really just really offensive. And I wanted people to know that these aren't our values. This isn't how Napa views, you know, our community. And for tourists coming in and seeing those signs, I thought it was just way appalling. But for people that really live here too, you know, to think that there are actually people in this community that think that way about our women and about our immigrant population in this community, mm-hmm. which is really sad.
Yeah. And you'd like to hope that whoever did this was just trying to get a rise out of mm-hmm. people. Maybe they don't really believe any of those things. Maybe they were trying to do the most provocative thing they could think of.
Yeah.
They would get people talking. That's a possibility. But even if that were the case, those attitudes do still exist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, with the women suck, there was one comment was like, oh, you know, this person couldn't find a date or something, and, you know, and commenting on the person themselves. And that's like, it's funny. Like, oh, yeah, let's laugh. This is a really funny thing. But it's really not funny. I mean, it really is tied to these ideas and values that we have, which really allow for greater violence to occur. So when people believe that someone is not equal to them, when people believe that people are less than them, they can take it so far as then invading people's privacy. Or so, you know, I took those messages as an invasion of privacy. I mean, that's in your face, a message in your face that you know, I don't agree with, and other people might not too. So when people hold these values and beliefs, some of them might then take it to the next level. So that's where we see people actually, you know, hurting others, you know, or it becomes harassment on the street, catcalling, name calling, things like that. Or you can go from another level beyond that where it becomes physical violence, where people feel like they have the power and control to hurt other people. And that's the realm where we see sexual harassment, sexual assault, and sexual violence.
Mm-hmm. And this is the continuum.
This is the continuum
that you're talking about.
Yeah.
So let's get into that a little bit. You have a
video. Yeah, I brought it here. I know the viewers can't see it, but just imagine a pyramid, and at the bottom, at the foundation, we have all of the cultural norms and the beliefs and the values, and basically all the things that we just accept and we don't question. So this is where strict gender role stereotypes live. The little man boxes and women boxes that we put our children into, where we portray women and children as sexualized objects, and also where we believe that victims are to blame for their own victimization. So we have these ideas at the bottom, and this is also where all those isms live. So this is where racism lives, sexism lives, homophobia, and the like. And when these norms and beliefs and values are repeated and reinforced in our culture, so we see them repeated in our movies, online, they're in our video games, you know, they're all over the place. So, it, you know, like I was saying before, it really does perpetuate this idea that someone is not equal. And as we move up the pyramid, these beliefs and a sense of entitlement can manifest into actual behaviors where people start acting them out. So the little workshop that I hold is I actually have, and I brought them with me if you want to take a look at them. Here's the signs right there. Is I give them to students, and they align them on the continuum based on least harmful to most harmful. Hmm. And then we go through and talk about, okay, why are you positioned here? Why do you think that this one is less harmful or more harmful than this one? And what I really try to do is get the students to understand and see that the attitudes that someone might have about somebody, say, someone who is, you know, a student who's being, I have a picture here of a kid who's harassing a young female student. You know, a student who believes he has that power and control and wants to force and coerce someone into something got that belief from somewhere. So, you know, it's not like people just wake up and they want to perpetuate violence. These things come from the environments and the culture that we live in, that we exist in, and the things that we, you know, allow to happen. So I think it's too easy to say, like, what is wrong with somebody? Like, why are they acting this way? The better question to ask is, well, where did they come from? And why do they believe these things? You know, it really goes a little bit deeper and helps you try to understand where these problems are coming from. And we see them played out in our culture in various ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's not just women, you know. I mean, this is things that we see against people that are people of color, you know, non-documented, LGBTQ. I mean, it goes across the board. And you could have a spectrum for each of those areas if you wanted to. But in my role specifically, I focus on the sexual violence part and how the culture and the things that we believe can lead somebody to perpetuate violence. And really it comes down to just that power and control and force and coercion.
And it really matches up, overlays neatly, the outrage of the last couple of days based on a video clip of Donald Trump that's actually kind of old, but it got recirculated, the clip where he describes immigrants as animals. Right? It's the same thing, isn't
it? Yeah. It's the dehumanization of people. If you hold these prejudices and these beliefs and these ideas, you don't see people as equals. You see people as different. You see people as other. You dehumanize them. And that allows you to commit acts of violence on them if you wanted to. I'm not saying everybody does. You know, not everybody's out there perpetrating violence. But people that have really strong beliefs and feel like they can do this will do it. So that's where you see breaking into construction signs and putting your message out there for people to see, or that's where people start, you know, hollering at people on the streets, you know, catcalling, calling somebody, hey baby, you know. I mean, it happened to, sorry, my PIO Kara May is sitting right next to me right now, and we were just walking down the street about a month ago and someone was like, hey, looking good, ladies. You know, it's like, why say that? And what makes you think that you can say that? You know, that's an invasion of our space, of our time walking together, and it's just not right.
Yeah, and I'm you never really hear romantic stories about how people ended up married for 40 years because
you're catcalled on the street.
Yeah, catcalled me. That's when I fell in love with
him. Super sexy, and it just made me want him. Yeah. No.
you know, we don't have I would say excessive amount of that on the streets of Napa. It's pretty quiet. But if you get out of your comfort zone to any major city, particularly, you know, back east, I think it's worse than any other part of the country. But it's pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
And as a guy walking down the street, you see it and hear it all around you. You know, it's kind of the old cliche, the construction workers or something. Well, it's a lot more than construction workers. Kind of unfair to that group of people.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to say these things trying to, you know, call out construction workers or call out a certain demographic. I mean, this isn't – that's not what this is about. This is just generally acknowledging that this does happen. Mm-hmm. It is happening here in Napa. And, you know, it is connected to the larger systems in our society. I mean, if you look back to the Kavanaugh hearings and Dr. Christine Balzi Ford, you know, what happened with sexual assault survivors and what was going on with survivors exploded into mainstream media. But a lot of it was – really the blame, perpetuating that idea that, oh, well, boys will be boys, and forgiving him for his thing and then calling her a liar. Well, why didn't she say anything? How come she didn't report this? Why did it take her so long? You know, those, the way, when our mind goes there, those are myths and things that we have been fed to believe about people that are victims of violence. And it's, you know, that's what my job is in education outreach, is to really change that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's connected to the Violence Against Women Act that is trying to be reauthorized right now, that just passed the House. You know, what they're trying to do is strengthen restrictions for those convicted of domestic violence so that they won't have guns. And you see what you're seeing is a lot of pushback on that, one from the NRA, but, you know, the underlying part of that is we're not valuing the lives of women and we're not valuing the lives of survivors and therefore making it easier for them to be killed. So they're five times more likely to die if if their perpetrator, the person that they're with, has a gun. And looking also at the mass shootings, 54% of mass shootings are related to domestic violence too. So it's that idea that, you know, we don't have the value of these individuals in our society. Therefore, they don't need these protections. And all this kind of starts in these very little ideas and how we think about each other, and we think about women, and we think about people of color and whatnot in our society.
So when you're out there talking with young people and going through your slides, as it were, mm-hmm. your demonstrations and asking for them to respond, what are you hearing from them, and what's the zeitgeist? What's the feeling now among younger people? Are they different than people of my generation in the way they think about these things?
Yes. I'd say that a lot of them are. It was great in this class to present this material. The one class was super quiet, and me who I was facilitating with, we kind of had to go through it with them and for them. They catch the idea. They're like, oh, well, yeah, I can see how that Snoop Dogg song that is talking about sex trafficking and pimping is related to, or would give someone, you know, the power and the idea that they can actually do that in real life. Because that's part of the spectrum, is I have lyrics from that song, and then I actually have a situation where a scenario where there's a girl named Jenna who was abducted from a mall and trafficked, and you know, seeing them make that connection. That's the work right there, and that can happen within a 30-minute little training that I'm doing. I think that's great work. They're seeing it. They're noticing it. I work with the women's soccer team at Napa Valley College. We meet every Monday for about 20 minutes, and I have a whole curriculum, and I'm asking them questions like, so, you know, are you experiencing street harassment, or what is, you know, and we talk about healthy relationships, we talk about boundaries, we talk about consent. And they're really aware of what's going on, not comfortable with it, but also not really knowing how to be a part of the change and what they can do. And that's where educators like me, and I know a tremendous amount of people in the community that are trying to do the same kind of work, is really give these youth and young adults these skills to be active bystanders or upstanders, and stand up and say, you know, call things out and say this is wrong. You know, you were saying earlier about being on the football team and knowing internally that this situation mm-hmm. isn't right. However, because of the team that you're in or the culture that you're in, you couldn't really speak up. And what we're really trying to do now is change that, is give our young people the skills and the power to stand up, to feel confident enough to turn this all around.
Sure. I don't think – did I say that on the air?
No, you didn't.
Just to fill in the listeners, sometimes we talk during a break.
Yeah.
I was relating my experience in seventh grade on a football team, and just hearing things coaches were saying that I knew were wrong, but there was no opportunity to express that mm-hmm. or no freedom to express that, because you would have been an outcast, mm-hmm. I guess, if you didn't like – you know, if you disagreed – with what was being said at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of our youth and young adults are still dealing with these things we're talking about mm-hmm. every single day. Mm-hmm. I think that bullying is a big problem in our schools. I think that a lot more can be done about that from a administrator and school system and just the whole policy and procedures and just everything. But there's a lot of work being done. And I, you know, I think that our next generation, they're super smart and they're fed up, much like the people who, you know, agreed with my post on Facebook about the community. And people are fed up about this. They really want to see change, and they really want things to stop. Which is why I feel like in my role, I've had not a lot of pushback going into a school and being like, hey, so I've got this awesome curriculum that works with both your, you know, male students and your female students and everybody in between to talk about healthy relationships and bystander intervention and respect. What do you think about that? Oh, yeah, okay. You know, I think we really need that. You know, so it's happening. I'm really happy about that.
Coach Bailey is with us here in the studio. We're talking about Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and more importantly, all the techniques that are being used to get messages across, to help people look at things differently. And we'll continue. We'll have a lot more to talk about. I want to get into a little bit of the pop culture message when you're talking about working with kids. So much of what young people think and believe and understand comes from, formats that adults and parents may not even be paying any attention to. So we'll get into a little bit of that and a lot more in our conversation when we continue. First, time for a quick break here on Wine Country Live. And in this segment of the show, we're talking with Coach Bailey, who works for News and does outreach on sexual assault awareness. Today is a program to focus on Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is the month of April. We've talked a little bit about a variety of the messages that you take to the groups you work with mm-hmm. and different formats and places that you go. Off the air, we were talking a little bit about pop culture, mm-hmm. and it doesn't seem to me that a lot of the messages that young people get that we as adults may not even be aware of them getting because they're on their phone watching videos, listening to music, and so on. A lot of the messages that are portrayed are absolutely the opposite of what you're trying to do mm-hmm. in regard to how mm-hmm. men treat women.
Or how women treat each other.
Or how women treat each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, do kids that you work with recognize that? Do they see a conflict in what you're saying and what they're seeing or those perceptions? Does any of that matter to them?
Yeah, I mean, the culture that they exist in does matter. Kids are seeing, you know, they're watching movies, they're listening to music, they're playing video games. It's in our print media. They're getting these messages, and it does come up sometimes of like, but wait, I mean, why is this image, as I use in one of my examples here on the continuum, it's a ad for a clothing company, and there's a woman who's in a very submissive position, and she's surrounded by a group of men. It was like, but if this is not okay, why is this okay? Like, I mean, why am I seeing this? Why am I being shown this? Why is it okay for people to produce this kind of media? And because there's a market for it, because people buy it, because it is something that is popular. It's pop culture. So I think that they're understanding that and seeing that, but it does make a job, you know, my job more difficult to have to really explain, but you know, this isn't how we treat people. This isn't realistic. And I think that's the piece where, you know, even the parents might not be aware, that's something that they can do is really understand and pay attention to what their kids are doing online, what they're listening to, movies they're watching. I'm not saying like completely censor, but really, it's all about having those challenging conversations. It's all about acknowledging what you're seeing and educating our children that this isn't realistic. This isn't right. This isn't how we treat people in the real world. But you're right. It is a problem. It's hard to combat this greater issue when it's in your face all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably never been a time when the standards of appearance were as much under the microscope as they are mm-hmm. now. People, the way we dress, present ourselves, fashion trends and whatnot, come and go and things change. And there have been times, you know, I can think back to the miniskirt era mm-hmm. when people would say, oh, you know, what are we doing? This is a moral collapse to dress this way. And it certainly hasn't, we haven't gone to turn the clock back on mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's gotten more extreme for a lot of people. And the older you get, the more extreme things seem, right? So a lot of people bring up, and this is one of your issues that you address, the idea that women are asking for it,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's a very common myth.
Mm-hmm. And you don't hear that about men, you know, whether it was, I'm not sure what men would do that would have the same relationship. Mm-hmm. Help me out if you can, but that's a really difficult issue for a lot of people.
That is a very difficult issue. That's one of those common myths that are out there of when someone is assaulted. Well, what was she wearing? How drunk was she? And it's not just she. I mean, what was the person wearing? Because these things happen, you know, not just to women. It happens to all people. You should have known better. So, you know, that idea and that way of thinking really puts the blame on the victim instead of asking the question, you know, well, why? Who did this? Why? Why did this person perpetuate this violence? And that really relates to actually one of the Sexual Assault Awareness Month art exhibits that we have curated. News has curated on the Napa Valley College campus, as well as in the windows on the First Street at the District Attorney's office on First Street, that addresses that question: what were you wearing? And it really breaks down that myth, because the art exhibit challenges that by actually using clothing from survivors of students from across the country, and shows what they were wearing. And most of the time, what people were wearing isn't the miniskirts and the provocative clothing that you think of. It's everyday clothes, T-shirts and jeans, sweats, shorts, a lifeguard uniform from a male survivor, basketball clothes. I mean, common clothing that we wear. Breaking down that myth of and that question, and trying to get people to really change why they ask that question, is what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole idea, you put yourself in a dangerous situation. That's mm-hmm. another thing you'll hear said. She usually, mm-hmm. she put herself in that situation. Who does she have to blame but herself?
Yeah, it's not her fault. We all have we grew up in a culture where women are taught that we shouldn't go out at night, that we should carry our keys in our fist, that there are certain things that we should not do. And for a long time in prevention, that was the way that we approached it, teaching our women to protect themselves in that way. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that, but we also need to be teaching the people that are doing the violence not to do the violence. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
It's kind of common sense,
right.
But we've grown up in a culture where that's not the norm, that's not the way it's been, so mm-hmm. that people have these ideas and these beliefs that it is the woman's fault, that when someone is victimized, it's their fault. They had to have done something wrong. And we live, it's hard when people of power in our country also perpetuate this kinds of violence, and where it's out there that this is okay. You know, mm-hmm. it's back to those cultural norms and those beliefs and those ideas. If this is okay, then we can continue to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when it comes to the victim blaming, that's what it is.
A lot of it, you know, everything we're talking about really connects back to the concept that, the religious concept that Eve started it all.
It's all her fault.
Women are to blame for evil in the world, essentially. And if we didn't have evil temptresses around, us men would just be fine. We'd all be getting along, great. I can't quite picture that. But, that is the basis of all of this.
A lot of it is. A lot of it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the things in the sexual violence realm that we talk about are rooted in religion. It's rooted in a history of, how we've colonized countries is by raping and pillaging women. That's how we overcome a people. That's not the way that it is today, but a lot of these things that we're talking about stems from that.
Still happening in some places.
Yeah, in some places yeah, it is.
No,
yeah.
No getting around it. And you're right, it is a subjugation. It's a tool of subjugation.
Yeah, and it's all about power and control and oppressing the other person.
Right.
And people that commit violence, it's about violence. It's about power and control. Domestic violence is a lot like that. Sexual violence is a piece of that. A lot of people that are in those situations, sexual violence comes up mm-hmm. in the relationship, intimate partner violence. It is a problem.
Yeah. This sort of new development, I guess you could say, in the sense of this track that we're on, or this process, is the aggrieved young man who is angry because he's rejected by women,
mm-hmm.
right? The so-called incel category. We saw that the first example of it, maybe, that broke out into the news was the Santa Barbara mm-hmm. case. And then there have been a few others like that where, somebody's shooting up someplace and that's the reason why, or they're running people over with their car and that's the reason why. And the underlying basis of that in this young man's mind is that I am owed something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that come up?
Yeah. That plays a part in this is that feeling of entitlement of feeling like I am owed. I do, this person owes me something because X, Y, and Z. I don't want to think that a lot of people that are in dating relationships have that mindset that that's how they go into it. But people that are prone to violence that think that way, that could be the tipping point. That could be the thing that really does push them over the edge, where I'm in this situation, this person isn't giving me what I want, so I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it by sexually assaulting them. I'm going to take it by raping them. I'm going to take it by revenge by taking these naked pictures that we took when we were in a very compatible situation, and now we're broken up, and I'm going to share them with everybody I know. I'm going to send them out to the whole school. You know, those are mm-hmm. that's an element of this, and that does happen. It's a mm-hmm. problem.
Yeah. And again, it makes you wonder who in the current moment would want to take those pictures knowing that those things happen. Does that come up as well? Do people say, why would you agree to be in that picture in the first place?
Well, again, it's the blaming. It's the blaming of the right. victim instead of questioning the person who is doing it, yeah. is being the person that's sharing it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's yeah. that's committing the violence.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of things that we can do to get around all of this. Like we were talking about before, Sexual Assault Awareness Month is this month, April. News, the agency that I work for, Domestic Violence and Sexual Abuse Services, we're all about educating and bringing awareness to this issue. So we have a whole month long of events. The What Were You Wearing exhibit that's up in Napa Valley College, going and checking that out is one thing. We are also having a survivor art exhibit and reception at the college at the end of the month called Still We Rise, where we've actually collected stories from survivors. And, you know, that's the piece that I kind of want to talk about is giving survivors a voice and believing them. That's part of this problem, is that when people say that something had happened to them, a lot of people's first reaction is, well, I don't believe them. Well, you know, and it's, again, like we were saying, the blame. Well, you let this happen to yourself. What were you wearing? How drunk were you? It's that blame. And we really take away the autonomy of the survivor and the person that has experienced the violence. So what we're trying to do with this exhibit is give the survivors a voice and an ability to say what they need to say, express themselves through art, music, poetry, writing, you know, whatever. Other things that people can do is really checking yourself. I like to tell the students that I work with is check yourself. So really be mindful of the language and the views, and turning a critical eye toward what we see and what we hear. You know, acknowledging how you could be contributing to the problem is one thing. Being a bystander, so speaking up, you know, like my post on Facebook, I felt like that was an act of bystander intervention, just by pointing out that this is a problem and someone needs to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And they did. Thank you very much for the city of Napa for securing those boxes and making sure that this doesn't happen again, and changing that message that we live in a community that doesn't support that kind of messaging. But really, it's as easy as saying, hey, you know, that's not cool. You know, something that kids can do when they're together, or when someone's wanting to share a picture, or you know, using derogatory language, is like, dude, like, that's not cool, or, you know, that's not cool. Or if you can't do that, go to somebody who can, you know, help you. Talk to an adult, police, you know, who I'm not saying the police, like, hey, you know, call 911 because someone is, I mean, unless it's serious, in a serious emergency, but you kind of get what I'm saying. Like, there's authority figures in our town. There's leaders, there's teachers, there's coaches, there's people that you can go to if you're mm-hmm. noticing that something is happening mm-hmm. to yourself or to somebody else, where you can get help. And it's when people, you know, check themselves and speak up where change can happen.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you're touched by anything that I've said and you want to get involved, News has a volunteer program. We do a 60-hour training with individuals who would like to learn more about this. It covers domestic violence and sexual abuse and how to be an advocate and help people. And that's a really great way to get involved and make some positive change in your community. That's actually how my career started, was volunteering with News over a year ago, and kind of evolved into where I'm at today. And if that's not something you can't do, really donating. You know, we are a nonprofit organization. We work on grants, and sometimes the money is and is not there. So we can definitely benefit from that funding mm-hmm. as well. And people, yeah. you know, putting their money where their mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn more at napanews.org. Check us out on Facebook. We're also on Instagram at News for Peace. That's the four piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all good. I'm wondering, as you get into conversations with people, how often you hear somebody say, well, that was all taken wrong. You know, when I said those things, I was just trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
I was just trying to be part of the crowd. You know, that's that's another issue we're dealing with now.
Yeah, yeah, that is. I mean, that's like those signs. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's funny, though. Come on. Like, how is that offensive? Like, well, it is. And really, it's not funny. And that's all you need to say to somebody is, that's not funny. Mm-hmm. And if they don't understand why, come take my class. I'll tell you about the spectrum of violence. And then we can just have everybody educating everybody about this problem.
It certainly makes a lot of sense. The whole question of intervening, you know, for a lot of people is like a bridge too far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see every day these videos that pop up, racial incidents, gender-based.
Mm-hmm. Assaults that are recorded and shared online. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And often, you know, now the difference is now the cell phone allows those videos to be captured.
Mm-hmm.
So people aren't getting away with everything like they would have in the past. And yet you often see in those videos, this horrible thing is going on and no one's doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're just sitting there. They're not even looking at this problem. And for many people, you may be all torn up inside about what you just heard somebody say or do, and yet you don't want to intervene because it'll come back on you, because then you'll be attacked.
Yeah, so it's called the bystander effect. And really what it comes down to is the more people are in a situation and something is going on, the less someone is going to get involved, because people assume that, oh, well, someone's going to do it. They're going to take care of it. If it was really a problem, the authorities would be here. There's this idea. So what I try to educate people in doing is, actually, if you're the person that tries to help, chances are people are going to follow in your footsteps. So it does require, you know, in some situations, it does require you to get out of your comfort zone and to extend that hand and to be that person. But chances are, in doing that, other people are going to support you and other people are going to help you in your effort to help other people. And I like to think about it like this. We're in Napa. We've been through how many disasters, how many emergencies? You know, we have all been in the situation where we have had to help other people, where we've had to use our resources, use what we had to extend a hand and help other people. And people that we might not interact with on a daily basis, you know, we as a community, we've already done that. And it's just changing the lens a little bit and focusing on our everyday actions, on those everyday things that we see. If we see something that is happening, say something about it. Do something about it. You know, you don't have to go and have a crazy rant on Facebook, but if it's going to be helpful and you do it in a way that is very articulate and intelligent and people are going to hear your message and share your message, that is a part of the piece too, you know?
A great way to wrap it up.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here today. Heather Bailey, Coach Bailey from News and representing Sexual Assault Awareness Month for us today. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And with that, we're all done for today.